Welcome to Life Lessons in Unexpected Places. The world is full of teachers if you know how to look and listen. With Asha Nayaswamy, one of the spiritual directors of Ananda Palo Alto and a founding member of Ananda Worldwide. If you enjoy this content and are inspired by the teachings of Paramahansa Yogananda and his disciple Swami Kriyananda, find Asha on YouTube, Facebook, Patreon, all podcast directories, and her website, ashajoy.org.
Currents of grace. As a bird in flight takes advantage of the air currents, so try to ride on the currents of grace. Be sensitive to them, for they will carry you to success in everything. Success is not always the outcome of stress. Listen for the whispered guidance of your soul. I'm sure all of you, as I have watched birds flying in the air. I've been in various places where I was up on a hilltop looking down into a canyon. I remember, one particular locale where you could stand actually in a house which is built on the edge of the canyon with big windows, and you can watch. And often there are hawks flying around out there with their eyes to the ground, looking for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, whatever it is they're doing. And you really see how sometimes they fly, move their wings, but a great deal of time they're gliding. And they're moving in such, one can watch them for a very long time, which is why I can speak of this, because I have. And you see them sort of move with the effort of their wings, and then they'll be in a place for just a long period of time where they seemingly put out no force of their own in order to just, and let the current take them where they ever want to go. One can't help but project that they're also doing it for fun, that not every ride they're taking has some practical searching for rodents sort of undercurrent, but a certain amount of it is just because they can. And there's a certain envy that arises in the heart when you see birds doing that and have a desire to do it, and the world being what it is, and people being so incredibly inventive and interested in pushing the boundaries of things. You have skydiving, and then you have, I guess, what they call base jumping, where you start from some high place and then you jump with a parachute. And I saw a documentary or a piece of a documentary where now humans have created something they call squirrel suits, because when they spread out, they look more like flying squirrels than birds, because a flying squirrel, he looks like a kite. Birds have separate wings, but the flying squirrel spreads out. I guess the membrane is from his feet to his arms. So when they designed it for humans, and I'm sure they worked hard on this, the squirrel suit worked better than the wings. So squirrel jumping, I think is what they call it, where you're a base jumper, meaning you're jumping from a base, not an airplane. You go out into wherever you're going, you spread your squirrel wings, and then you ride the current for a while until it's necessary to pull your parachute. And of course, gliders, where they get drawn up, they either jump off the cliff or they get drawn out in an airplane and then released and just silently moving down. The whole image of it is so evocative for human beings to be able to fly. As long as there have been humans, there have probably been birds, and we've been watching them. Airplanes came much later. I'm not inclined toward jumping off of high places or jumping out of airplanes, and that sort of physical exhilaration has never been my cup of tea. So the closest I have ever gotten to it is a friend of mine was a hot air balloonist, and I went up with her on one ride, a free ride, not just a tethered ride, drifting over the landscape and coming down, having the picnic, the whole beautiful thing. And the hot air balloon is just exactly that. There's a propane burner, which she turns on and off, and it heats the air in the huge balloon that's above the basket that you're in. And when the air is sufficiently heated, it directs the direction of the balloon, and she can vent it from the top so that the balloon can cool off and then land and so on. It's a science in itself. But the end point was, when the propane burner is on, there's noise. There's the rush of the burner. It's not unbearable, but it's noisy. But then when there's sufficient hot air and she turns it off, then you just float. And you float in absolute silence. Which, of course, even on an airplane, there's always noise. And it was a remarkable shift to be aloft in silence. And suddenly the appeal of gliders, of squirrel suits, even of parachutes, it all became obvious to me. Because that element of quiet added to the elevation and the vista and seeing the world in a different way, I'll never forget it. I've only done it once, and it was decades ago, but it's just vivid in my mind. So I'm sharing all of that because this is what Swamiji is trying to awaken us to in terms of life itself, that it's, you know, air doesn't look like anything. That's the most interesting factor about air. You can't see it, but it has this tremendous force. I mean, think about hurricanes, quite apart from air currents lifting birds. But think about hurricanes. It's just wind. It's invisible. But the power, when it gets concentrated in fast movement, is stunningly destructive, or let's phrase it differently. Destructive is in the eye of the beholder, but the way it can influence and change the material world for something that you can't hold in your hands and you can't see, is you see the effect of it. You see the building going down, you see the tree bending over, but you don't see the it that's causing it. So my friend who grew up in Manchester, England, which I guess does not have the most salubrious climate in the world, she talked about when they were children, the weather was so often unpleasant that the children just dressed for the weather and went outside to play because otherwise there were too many months of the year when they could never get outside. But she remembers as a small child that the wind sometimes was so strong that they could more or less lie down on it. You know, they would just face into the wind and you could, as a child, you could tip way over. I mean, she never told me exactly how far, but you could tip way over into the wind and not fall. And you can imagine for children just how much fun that was to spread their arms and lie down on the wind. But again, it's a real powerful force, but you can't experience it directly. You experience its effect, but you can't experience it with your senses. Okay, I suppose the wind blowing on you does touch your skin, but that's the effect of it. It's not like rain. You see the rain, but you can't see the wind. Now you see there's the analogies with grace. That's what all of that was, just to help us to understand what the power of grace is. We can't see it. We can't weigh and measure it. We can't store it in a box, nor can we command it. You know, the spirit, like the wind, blows where it will. We can't command it, but that doesn't make it any less real. In fact, it's more real in a sense because it's all pervasive and it's capable of interceding in our lives with the power of a hurricane at any moment. So, and the other side of it is, just like air, it's always there. You know, when the hawk in the canyon finds the air current, he didn't create the air current, he moved into alignment with it. And so this is one of the realities that Swamiji is trying to get us to understand, that the currents of grace are always there. And the question is, are we looking for them? Are we trying to catch that wave, or are we so busy swimming and flying and paddling and walking and running and thinking and doing and planning on our own that we don't even notice where the currents are taking us? In the context of Ananda, the Ananda communities I've been part of for 50 years, one of the expressions that we always have is not merely what do we think is best, but what is trying to happen. And it's a particular orientation toward planning and acting and making decisions that we're asking, you know, where is the current? Where is the river naturally flowing? You know, where is the energy naturally going? And how can we intuit where it's already going, sense where it's already going, and then cooperate with it. And certainly we don't want to thwart it, but even more advantageously to think about it is that if we cooperate with what is trying to happen, we're much more likely to be able to manifest the best, manifest the highest potential, and we're also much more likely to be able to manifest successfully. Because if you're flying against the current, if you're swimming against the current, in this case we're talking about birds, but if the bird is flying into the wind, that's much harder work than the when it has the wind at its back and it's being able to move. How can you tell what's trying to happen? Well, Swami says, listen for the whispered guidance of your soul. Between what the mind wants, what the heart is anxious about and wants to make happen, and what the soul is trying to tell us, there's often a great deal of difference. Because the soul is always attuned to the long rhythm ultimate benefit of the individual, of me, of you, of the jiva, of the small self, the little bubble floating in the sea, or the little bubble floating down the river looking to get to the ocean. That's the drama that's really going on. We have these lives that we have to live. We have to be deeply committed, totally engaged in whatever we're doing. But whatever we're doing, what we're really doing is we're that bubble trying to get to the sea. And the means to get to it, maybe the family we raise, the art we create, the money we earn, the charity we support, the health challenges we overcome, the addictions we fall into and transcend. I mean, it's not all by any means just roses. There's a tremendous number of thorns along the way. But each of those events, those episodes in this incarnation or all the ones before or the ones that may come after, each of these episodes is in a certain sense like a boat we ride for a while down that river. The boat is always heading toward the sea, and it's just a question of whether we catch the wave and ride with it, or spend our whole time just desperately trying to swim against the current. They make these treadmills for swimmers, which I've never actually been in one, but it's very intriguing to me because I do swim for exercise. Actually, I was at a swimming pool once where they had that section where there was a contrary current, so you could essentially swim without moving, because the current was, if you could swim fast enough or strong enough to match the current, you just stayed still. And so they make these big tanks where you can have it in your home and you can swim against the current and then you get to stay still. But for exercise, as an efficient thing, if you don't have a swimming pool, it's a great idea. But for life, it's not such a good idea. I mean, to be flying against the current and then just standing still, that's not what we want. So grace is grace is the whispered instructions, the map to where we're really trying to go. That's what I would call grace. And grace is being given the map of where we're really trying to go. And then grace is the divine assistance to help us get there. I've often noticed sometimes people will come to me and they'll say, I've just been praying and praying and praying and I just don't get an answer. And much of the time, not always, but much of the time, when we go through the experience and I understand what people are, what they're up against, we often pray to God to give us answers for questions about which He has no opinion. And I know I know that may sound a little hard, but what I mean by that is people will pray, where should I live, which house should I get, what job should I do, what should I major in college, should I marry this person, should I have children, should I have a second child? Now, it's very, very hard to think of those decisions as not being important. And it's almost heartbreaking to think that God doesn't care. So I don't want to put it in those terms. But if we're with someone and we know that their problem is that they're too addicted to sugar and they eat way too much sugar, and they want you to tell them whether they should have ice cream or chocolate bonbons, you're going to have a hard time saying eat the ice cream. Because the real question is, how can I stop eating so much chocolate? Or how can I stop eating so much sugar? And if they keep wanting to have you answer which form of sugar should they eat, you just don't know how to answer that question. It's not that you don't love them. It's not that you don't care about them. But you just don't have an opinion, because it's not the question that you want to answer. So often we ask God about a detail of our life, which does not look like a detail to us. I admit that. But all that Divine Mother wants from us is for us to become more loving, more compassionate, more kind, and more deeply attuned to her presence in everything that we experience. So instead of asking, what should I major in college, if you say, how can I best serve you? You know, what is it? Show me how I can love more. Open the avenue for me to be able to give myself more truly in a compassionate way to life. Now, that's a question about which God has an opinion. And the answer may actually be that you should become a doctor, you should become a psychologist, you should become a painter. I mean, it might end up being, well, not necessarily, but it could be the specific answer you were looking for. But the question you're asking now is a question of, where are the currents of grace? So that is what we're looking for. And this is how Swami puts it, the currents of grace. As a bird in flight takes advantage of the air currents, so try to ride on the currents of grace. Be sensitive to them, for they will carry you to success in everything. Success is not always the outcome of stress. Listen for whispered guidance in your soul.
Our work is made possible by inspired listeners, so if you feel to support ASHA, you can make a one-time donation, or for unique members-only content, subscribe through Patreon. Blessings, and thank you.